100.3 K-Talk Podcast. Ron Rosenbaum, Saturdays from 1 to 4 on 100.3 K-Talk.
Welcome back to the show. This is Holding Court with Ron Rosenbaum. Ron, of course, is off this afternoon. My name is Dave Schrader, and I am your host for the next hour. Then Sue Jeffers will be taking over from 3 till 5 this afternoon. And then keep your dial here because this is the FM home for the Minnesota Vikings with their kickoff game tonight. You're going to want to make sure that you stay here and be a part of the pregame fun and listen in to what hopes to be a big season for the Minnesota Vikings. Today we're talking about the job market. We're talking about what's going on out in the economy and how to secure a position. And now that you've got a position, I also want to talk a little bit about the jobs that are out there. And when you've got these jobs, why do so many people that don't seem to want to be there, why do they keep these jobs? In this down economy, you think they'd be flushing out the bad, bringing in the new, getting more people like yourself that are listening, struggling, trying to find a job that would be a good employee. But it just doesn't seem to happen. And you know what I'm talking about, because every workplace has them. The people that come in late, go home early, they take long lunches, they spend too much time taking personal calls on their cell phones. Then they find every and any excuse they can to avoid doing work and make everybody else work harder to make up for the deficiencies, yet they never get fired. Well, this afternoon, we're going to address that. We've got our own local author and expert who is joining us via the phone right now, Roxanne Emmerich. And Roxanne is America's most sought-after workplace transformation expert, a member of the National Speaker Hall of Fame. She is one of the most requested speakers in the country. And her new book, Thank God It's Monday, has been on the Wall Street Journal and New York Times bestseller list, was number one on Amazon's bestseller list, and she's been featured on CNN, CBS Business Radio, and hundreds of other programs. Thankfully, she was willing to give us some time here this Saturday and maybe give a little insight. Great book. Interesting. The title I'm talking about here, Roxanne, Thank God It's Monday. Now, that's not something you usually hear in the business world. It always seems to come, thank God it's Friday, we're done with the week, we're out of here. Why going with thank God it's Monday? What are you transforming people to learn in this book?
Well, it's interesting because everyone can say thank God it's Friday, but very few people can say thank God it's Monday. And I think it's important to be able to say both. But if you look at the statistics, people aren't happy with their jobs. And in fact, the people who still have jobs, 61% of them actively pursued a different job last year in a different company. And my point is there is no out there. It's time to fix your workplace and make it fun and make it rock.
And you see, I think that is such an important part. There's a lot of transformation. I know in the job that I do on a daily basis, I'm involved in sales, and I work in the gold and silver coin collectible market. And there's been a lot of transformation there. And sometimes the fun of going to work has been killed for a lot of people. And the new changes, it frightens people, and they're afraid that things are going to be bad, and they just start getting into that bad funk, and it can really kill a workplace environment. So for employers, and with this economy changing and new policies coming in and money being spent by the bosses to have to cover insurance and cover this, that, and the other, it can really kind of bog down a business. How do we start to reinvigorate the workplace, Roxanne, so that people are happy to go back to work? You know, personally, I am. I like going to work every day. I like getting in there, talking to all these people. But, you know, I mean, it's a break for me. I have 7 kids at home. So, getting into workplace, I get some downtime.
I would imagine. Well, what I've been doing for the last almost 21 years is going into companies and creating what we call spin-arounds. We have a one-day process whereby we turn around the results. We've had companies that hadn't grown more than 2% a year for 10 years in a row, and they grow 35% in the next 30 days after we do this process. We have several of our clients that were complete and total train wreck in terms of employee morale, and 3 of them right now are listed as the top employers in their state. So, you know, the key is that culture is the leading provider of workplace, of profits and growth, but more importantly, it's necessary for sanity, and most people are walking into adult daycare instead of jobs.
That's a great point, and that's what it feels like is, you know, we're going in there, and it drives me nuts watching people that do, as you mentioned, they're killing time, and I look at all these people out there scrambling and struggling to find a job, and not just in my company, but in my friends' company. Everybody complains about those vampires, as you mentioned, even the energy vampires. They just seem to suck the life out of the business. Why are employers keeping them on and not hiring new blood and bringing somebody in that wants the job?
Well, it's shocking because according to Fortune magazine, the number one reason that CEOs lose their job is failure to effectively deal with low performers. And 93% of people say that they would be thrilled if their company more aggressively managed those low performers and those slackers. And so everybody wants it to be done. But, you know, here we are in Minnesota. I live in Minnesota in Eden Prairie, and so we're close here. I usually do my work all over the entire globe. So it's kind of nice to have a local show here. One of the things about Minnesota is we got Minnesota Nice. And Minnesota Nice kills the workplace culture because no one tells the truth. They're so busy messing with each other's brains instead through gossip and different kind of ways that it takes the fun out of the workplace.
It does. And talking and the gossip and the negativity and watching. And I can watch how it happens in my business when one person's down. And it always seems, right, Roxanne, when one person's down, they're not happy unless they're complaining, whining, and moaning to everybody else in the business.
Yeah, I'm a Wisconsin farm girl, and there's a lovely little saying about this that basically goes like this. You can take a little bit of wine and put it in a big room of horse manure, not a problem. But you take a little bit of horse manure and stick it in a vat of wine, and you've got issues.
No doubt.
And that's what it's like with employees. You know, anybody who's ever managed knows that if you have one person who's actively disengaged, and right now, according to Gallup, 17% of the population is actively disengaged. In fact, they're working harder against you than for you. No wonder we have a recession, right? So, you know, when you have one of those in your workplace, they so contaminate the energy of that group that everyone's looking sideways at each other because they don't know what to believe. And all they know is if they start looking engaged, the people who are actively disengaged will come down their throats.
You know, Roxanne, if you don't mind, we've got a caller who called in, Andrew, who's graduating college, and he's looking for a little advice here. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Certainly.
I was just curious. I'll be entering the job market. I'll be graduating here in December. And I was actually looking for some tips to make myself a little more marketable. And, you know, with the college graduate placement rate in new jobs is kind of low. So I was just looking for a little advice.
Oh, Andrew, I'm so glad you called because you're exactly the kind of person who's going to have a great opportunity, and I'll tell you why. I just wrote an article last week after I had been out to one of the companies I work with that's the ninth highest performing bank in the country, just a little regional bank, wonderful human beings, great culture. And one of the things each one of the nine regional managers all said to me was, it's like holy hell managing here that we've never experienced before because of the Gen Y. And I said, tell me more about this. And they said, you've never seen anything like it. They come to work right at 8 o'clock, if they even make it then. They are out the door 5:02, you know, the door is hitting their butt in on the way out the door. They're wondering why they're not getting a bigger raise. If you coach them on something, they don't take the coaching, or else they get ticked off and they leave. And so for you coming in as a college graduate, know that right now, for the very first time in history, the fastest group to be laid off is this group. It used to be the older, more expensive people got laid off, but managers have had it with this Gen Y, which is amazing because there are still several good ones within that. And, Andrew, you've got to stand out and let them know you get it because right now the common language amongst managers is, hey, we're just not going to put up with it anymore. They're the first ones laid off. So my advice to you, Andrew, is come in letting them know that you get it, that you're not going to be a problem child in the workplace, that you're going to create. You get that it's all about taking yourself lightly and taking your results very, very seriously, and then show up that way. And I'll tell you what, even take a job in the mailroom because you will move up quickly because you will stand out with that kind of personality.
So you think the main thing for Andrew to do is once he gets in the door with these people, show how he's going to stand out. Now, how do you want him to portray that he gets it, that he understands that this company needs him and that he's going to be there? I mean, how do you portray that in an interview or even in the initial stage of just getting the information over to them in a resume form?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, results rule. I have my own business on Eden Prairie at the intersection of 169 and 494 called the Emmer Group. And we get a lot of applicants who are coming in right now. And you can stand out in that process right away. So one of the ways you stand out is you have a great resume that shows that you've been working and shows you got results. The second thing to do is you write a killer letter and you explain what kind of a human being that you are. But don't just say the words. You got to live that, because bosses aren't really impressed by somebody who says one thing and then 2 days after they hire you, they're saying, oh, excuse me, but who was that person who sent the resume?
Right.
Doesn't match. And then if they don't call you back right away, call. And then call again. And then send a follow-up. And then send them something of value, an article that you've run into. Show them that what you're going to be like in the workplace, which means that, yeah, there's something I've been talking about for years with our clients, and that is to come from a spirit of understanding that life gives to the givers and takes from the takers, and the world has a perfect accounting system. So get about adding massive value to that business right away before you even have the job, and they'll find you absolutely irresistible because no one thinks this way.
Well, that's some great advice, not only for you, Andrew, but anybody that's coming out of the school environment, especially if you don't have that workplace experience, but you've gone to the task. I know with our last guest, Larry Jemison, he talked, if you can bring in supporting documentation, and if you don't have that at this point, but you have found articles that you think could help benefit this company on ways to improve their sales and ways to improve their business, and you bring that showing, look at what a valued resource I am, Roxanne, am I correct that that's a great way to kind of introduce yourself, that, hey, I do take this position very seriously because look what I'm willing to bring right to the beginning.
That's a great way. And I'll tell you what, I have had some amazing young interns over the years who come in while they're still in school, and they'll work quite a bit of hours. They'll work at least 15, 20 hours while they're taking their workload at their school work as well. And almost without exception, when they're really performing as an intern, I offer them a job at the end of that. And I had a couple that made pretty close to six figures within 2 years. You know, now you take that same person and you would have said to them, oh, I'm going to wait till I get the $60,000 job offer. First of all, they wouldn't have got it, and they sure couldn't have moved up that quickly. And so, you know, it's important to be humble enough to know that. I was just over at a friend's business out in California a few weeks back, and he said he won't hire anybody under 30 because they don't know anything yet, which was pretty crude. But
right.
but you know, you have to understand that there are employers who feel that way because there is so much to learn, and it takes 10 years to accomplish any level of mastery in anything, which is one of the things that so many people are talking about right now. The concern that the younger generation believes you can jump from job to job to job every couple of years. What they're predicting is that they will really hit the wall pretty early in their career because they will not have developed fully any skill set, and as a result of that, made themselves pretty unemployable. So, you know, so decide who you are, what stands out about you, go into that line of work, be willing to start in at the very bottom, and then show them what you're made out of, Andrew.
All right, Andrew, I hope that helps you out a little bit.
Yes, it does. Thank you
Great.
Very much.
Why don't you stay on hold, Andrew? We'll get you. We'll give you a copy of Larry's book to kind of introduce you and how to go ahead and start getting that resume built and get yourself looking professional and ready to get that job. Okay.
Okay. Great.
Hold tight. We'll be right with you on that. And we're going to give away a couple copies of Thank God It's Monday a little bit later in the show as well. Our guest this afternoon, Roxanne Emmerich, and we're talking about the workplace and how you can be a part of the changes that go on there. You were mentioning before the Minnesota Nice. You think that the managerial staff here and a lot of the problems in our state is that they keep these energy suckers, these bad employees on just because they're not prepared to handle or are properly trained how to deal with them. And I agree with you. I've seen so many great managers, such nice intentions and good people. But when it comes to actually managing the staff and especially the problem children, that causes a problem. Now, we get those occasional people, Roxanne, that are superstars. They're great at their job, but their energy and their attitude sucks. Do we cut them out? Do we say, you know, you did great, but the after effect, the back taste, you know, if you will, the aftertaste on this is so bad that it drags everybody else down. It's worth more to get rid of you and keep other people that we can push up into that level eventually.
Well, it's interesting that you asked that question because I just heard two gentlemen speak at a conference where I was speaking, and they both had turned around in huge ways some major corporations. And they didn't know each other before that conference, and they said the exact same thing as their number one rule, and that is immediately get rid of anybody who's disruptive. I don't care if they're your top performer. I don't care if they bring in 80% of the deals into the business. If they are a disruptor, they must go. And I thought, wow, that's pretty courageous. But I think it's true because when you tolerate people who don't know how to put their big boy pants or their big bro big girl pants on before they come to work. You create a environment where everybody starts to act a little bit nuts. And how can you possibly create anything great in that kind of an environment? So what happens as a result is everybody kind of gets shut out and can't really create the value that they otherwise would. And that's why I wrote the Thank God It's Monday book. I started out of college making loans to small businesses, and I always told my boss, I can walk in to a small business, listen to their languaging for about 3 minutes, and tell you exactly what their financials look like and where they're headed based upon the language. And he said, no, you can't. I said, yes, I can. And so we had a bet, and after 10 times in a row, he said, how do you do that? And I said, I listen to the language. And, you know, if you want, I can share with you some of the things that I see, because one of the ways that we get these rapid turnarounds of the results of companies is we change the language in a very, very profound way.
Please share that. And for those of you that are business owners, and I think this affects everybody, right? We're not just talking Fortune 500 companies. If you own a family pizza place, video store, you're running Medica, any kind of position, this is information that can help these businesses.
You are so right. Well, let me give you a couple examples. First of all, I'll give you a couple categories that I hear. I hear the try people. So, for instance, right before the recession, I called all my CEOs that we're doing a full program with, and I said, make sure to send out a memo before the beginning of the year saying that the media will be talking a lot about a recession, but we did not sign up. Thank you very much.
Excellent attitude, right?
This is our time to out-strategize, out-execute, out-market, out-sell. This is our time to gain market share and premium pricing, because everybody else will be in the language of, well, I tried, but it was harder. And so we will not use the word try. We're going to set some goals, and we're just going to decide to hit them. And I can't tell you how many of these CEOs came back to me and said, that was the best thing I've ever done in my entire career. That made more of a difference than anything else. So, you know, part of it is to get the try language out. Part of it is to get the gossip out. I mean, I do a lot of work with high-performing banks, and I've also done quite a few turnarounds of banks that were in trouble with FDIC and just about shut down. That happened, and several of them now are in the top 100 performing banks in the country. So this stuff really does work. When you get mindsets shifted, everything else works behind it. And one of the things I noticed there was that the gossip was killing them. Gossip is the worst workplace violence you can have. It's worse than bringing baseball bats and beating the heck out of each other.
Amen.
Yeah, because once you have that going on, the person who's doing it is coming from a really nasty place of not believing in themselves. And if you look up, you know, what psychologists define as, you know, why people gossip, they say it's because someone doesn't feel good about themselves. They want to put somebody else below them. And, of course, that doesn't work because they feel even worse about themselves. The people who hear it don't know what to believe, and now they feel dirtied as well through the experience. And you know, and that's why I wrote Thank God It's Monday, too, is to teach people like that what to say to people when they come to you gossiping, to get them away and make them stop doing that. And, of course, the person being gossiped about has everyone looking at them sideways and wondering what's going on. So now you've so contaminated the environment that no one can think straight.
Well, how do we do that? How do you tell the person that's, you know, I want to be friendly, and again, I'm Minnesota nice. I don't want to be a jerk to the guy who's chewing my ear off, and he needs the vent, but he's affecting me. What do I do, Roxanne? How do I tell him, you know what, go away?
Okay, so Dave, if you come to me and you're gossiping about someone, I just say to you, Dave, sounds like you need to go talk to Joe, because there's always two sides of the story here. Do you want me to walk over there with you right now?
Well, that's a good way. Yeah, just put it back on them to go attack this and deal with it.
You don't make a big deal out of it. You don't get all bent out of shape, and you don't say, how dare you. You just say, you know, there's always two sides of this. Let's go over and talk to Joe right now and see what's going on with it. Let's get this cleared up. And, you know, suddenly, now Dave knows I don't get away with this stuff. And, you know, here's the interesting thing. I read somewhere, and I can't cite this research, but over 90% of the time, when someone's talking about somebody else, it's actually inaccurate information.
No.
Can you imagine that?
I can't. You mean they could be wrong on Entertainment Tonight and TMZ and all of these entertainment shows we're attached to? Good God.
It's just entirely possible.
I'm sorry, Adam. My guest Britney Spears is not looking for a lowly radio producer to spawn with in the next few weeks. I know. I'm just as embarrassed as you are by that.
But Adam will look around for you.
That's right. We've got some callers calling in, and you know what? I've got a great question here for you, Roxanne. We've got Jason is calling. Jason, where are you calling us in from today?
I'm calling from Maplewood.
Maplewood, and go ahead. What's your question for Roxanne?
My question for Roxanne is, what if all the negativity and all the, you know, bad things is coming directly from the owner of the company? How do you remedy that situation without, you know, getting yourself fired by telling the owner, you know, you're messing up the company, maybe you need to step back and not handle the day-to-day operations because you're not a people person or hire a manager? How do you broach a situation like that where it is the actual owner of the company that is causing, you know, basically the owner is his own worst enemy and causing all the problems for
sure.
Himself? That,
well, we've all seen that too, Roxanne. Yeah, what's a good way to handle the boss who's, you know, and especially if the boss is the owner who's so bad? I mean, if you have just a crappy boss, you can always present to the owner or to his higher up in a positive way, I would say, to say, you know, I see some issues with this, and I certainly am not trying to backstab my boss here, but I think that we could make things a lot better if we implemented these steps. Is that a good way to start with a bad boss, Roxanne, by giving not just whining and saying, oh, he sucks and he's horrible and he's a bad person, but maybe also giving a positive on how things can be fixed going forward?
Yeah, I'll tell you, Jason, you're not alone. I can't tell you how many times I hear this question about, you know, oops, it's the boss that's the problem. So let me just share with you how to manage up, because I've seen this done miraculously. And, you know, at the end of the day, somebody has to be the grown-up. And it's interesting, too. You know, I've often challenged this to like teenager kids when they're talking about their parents, and I say, okay, well, if you don't think your parents are acting like grown-ups, then somebody has to be the grown-up. Let's talk about how you can go have this conversation and get this thing cleaned up. So, Jason, you have a unique opportunity here to bring a good person to a level of greatness, but that good person may be disillusioned about, you know, what's an effective thing to be doing. And so you can simply go to your boss and you can say, let me give you a four-step process, Jason, okay? And
okay.
If you have a way to take a note here, that might be good to kind of wrap this down. And basically goes like this. When you blank, it creates this result. Third step is my specific request is, and you're very specific, and then do I have your commitment? So let me give you an example. So Joe, when you, and then the key here is you must list observable behaviors. So you can't say when you act like a jerk, because that's just going to make your boss really ticked, right?
Right.
But when you say, when you're shouting and screaming profanities across the room at me, the outcome is I get really scared about my job, I feel insecure, and the customers certainly don't feel like coming back. My specific request for you is from now on, if you see me doing something that you don't like, that you come into my office and you just simply ask for what you want in a calm way, and I will give you my commitment that I will do everything I can to make that happen. Do I have your commitment? Okay, so if you analyze that, the key here is you start off with observable behavior, and then the outcome, and then the specific behavior that you're requesting, and then you're asking for a commitment. And that same formula can be used over and over and over again to teach insane people how to be sane. And, you know, quite frankly, all of us are just a little bit insane. It's just a matter of the degree, right?
That's right.
And so whenever someone's tired or hungry, they just act a little bit crazier. And so this is your unique opportunity to kind of bring this person back to some level of sanity and help them gain some self-respect as well.
Okay.
Does that make sense for you, Jason? Do you see how that can...
So. It's really hard to hold somebody that's signing your check accountable, though. I mean, that's the problem I'm running into. I haven't worked in over a year, and I've used a lot of the tips that Roxanne has talked about making the people in my industry come to me. And now, after being out of the business that I was formerly in for over a year, word is getting around that I am for hire. And now I have people competing over me, and it's the greatest feeling in the world, especially in this market.
Well, congratulations. That's a good place to be, Jason. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
I mean, he brings up some really good points with that. You know, you do run into that position, Roxanne, and so many people are afraid to talk to their boss about making this, you know, and one thing that I actually excelled in a few of my jobs, one day we were at lunch and my fellow employees were complaining, and I used to live in Illinois, and they were talking about the company and how bad things were and how the collateral we sent out was wrong and misinformation. And I sat at the table, and as we talked, I said, well, what do you think would be a better way to handle this? What would we, what should we have on this collateral? What's a better way to say that? And we talked it out, and unbeknownst to us, the actual owner of the company, who nobody ever saw but was in the building all the time, was sitting at a table two tables over listening to every word we had to say.
Oh.
And he sat there burning up through most of it, but at the end of the conversation, he walked over to my table, and he leaned down, put his hands on the table, and stared at the table, and he goes, I don't know if you know me. My name is and John Ford. I own this company. I've just spent the last hour listening to you destroy my business and destroy everything that I do. And then he turned to me and he said, Mr. Schrader, I'd like to talk to you in my office when this is over. And when he walked away, everybody went, oh, you are so screwed. And I felt I was screwed. I'm like, oh, my God, what did I say? Did I skip? And when we went up there, he goes, I just want you to know I'm going to fire everybody at your table. I just wanted to let you know I really appreciated the way that you took it from them bitching and whining for a solid hour and turned it into what can we do to fix it. And very rarely did I hear them give answers, but you did. He goes, who do you think out of that group is worth saving? Mm-hmm. And I said, I think they're all worth saving. I think they're just humans who were venting at lunchtime, not knowing the owner was there. But I think that if these, you know, if things were implemented, these are real problems. They're not just imagined issues. And he said, all right, well, how about this? We're going to put you into a management position to oversee these people. And it was because of the attitude I took of let's fix it instead of let's complain about it.
And what a beautiful story, you know, and what a great message that, you know, one of the things we're teaching our clients constantly is to always speak with good purpose. And so, you know, if you're not advancing the situation, then you shouldn't be opening your mouth because, you know, at the end of the day, no one as a manager, no one wants someone coming to them and saying, wah, this is wrong. They're thrilled when people come and say, I've noticed an opportunity for a breakthrough. We have this little challenge. Here are my recommendations. And because you're the person who I think can get things done, I wanted to make sure I came directly to you. Man, people who can talk like that get advanced and advanced and advanced. But most people, and that's why I wrote, thank God it's Monday, most people don't know the language of how to get ahead. They don't know the language of how to be a good human in the workplace because they learn bad behaviors from the people all around them, just like, you know, you oftentimes see dysfunction passed on from generation to generation to generation. You know, and, you know, I always tell people, I don't care what happened to you in your past. Things have happened to everybody. Your sole purpose here is to break the chain and become the best human you can be while you're here. And that can happen like that. It's just as fast as just making a decision that I choose to bring my higher self to work every day.
Well, let's start the ball rolling here. We're going to give away a copy of your book. Our guest, again, is Roxanne Emmerich, and her book is called Thank God It's Monday, How to Create a Workplace You and Your Customers Love. If you'd like to get a copy of this book, go ahead and be the 11th caller right now at 651-989-5855, 651-989-5855. If you're serious about turning your life around, your business around, and your work environment around, this is a fantastic book to pick up. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more Holding Court with our guest, Roxanne Emmerich. This is Dave Schrader. You're listening to the best in all talk radio, 100.3 K-Talk.
And your Fox 9 forecast. Right now, it's partly cloudy and 85 in the Twin Cities. We have a slight chance of rain today and a 40% chance of rain overnight. Tomorrow, though, looks lovely, mostly sunny with a high near 77. A great day on Monday as well, mostly sunny with a high near 88, and mostly sunny Tuesday with a high near 77. You're listening to K-Talk 100.3 FM.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to Holding Court with Ron Rosenbaum. Ron is off this week. I'm guest host Dave Schrader. Normally you can hear me Monday through Friday right here on K-Talk as I take you into the world of the weird and unexpected. From 11 to midnight, you can tune into Darkness Radio as we talk about ghosts, UFOs, Bigfoot, psychic phenomena, and more. And again, that's Monday through Friday. Then stay tuned because George Norrie and Coast to Coast continues the tradition as he continues on to the weird and wild world around us. Today we're talking a little bit more grounded topic, if you will. We've got Roxanne Emmerich is joining us, and she is local right here in Minnesota. She's got a fantastic book called Thank God It's Monday. It's How to Create a Workplace You and Your Customers Love. And Roxanne, we're getting a lot of the questions from callers that are calling in about the job market, how to get into these job markets, what they can bring to it. Do you mind if we take a few more of these calls?
Please bring bring it on.
All right. And Bill's got an interesting follow-up, I think, to the last question. We were talking about dealing with a boss that's tough. If you do go to that boss and the answer is, you know what, go find another job, you've now been fired. Bill has a question about how to explain about getting fired in an interview. Is that right, Bill?
Yes.
All right. Well, go ahead. What's your situation, and what are you looking for from Roxanne on this?
Well, I had a sales position at a national corporation here in the Twin Cities, and I had a coworker who was closer to the boss than me that was rearranging things on my desk and in my cubicle, and I told him not to do it, and he kept doing it, so he left for the day, and I was going to be gone the next day, so I called him up and left a voicemail saying, please don't do this, I don't like it. It really bothers me, and I got fired because they said it was a policy violation. And so, you know, I've been out of work for quite a while now, and I don't know how do I dodge this if somebody asks about it. And do employers tell people if they fired somebody?
Okay, great question. And first of all, welcome to the human race. You're not alone. Pretty much everybody gets fired from at least one job. And so don't let it...
Just one, Roxanne?
Yeah. you know, guilt and shame doesn't get you anywhere. Sometimes if it's our fault, we have to look at ourselves and go, okay, how did I blow it? How do I take all the accountability that I'm entitled to take here and become a better person as a result? And sometimes it's not our fault. Sometimes there's something insane going on around us. But I'll tell you what, you know, the old saying, the truth will set you free, has got a lot of power. And so I have hired many people who have told me that they've been fired, and they tell me the truth about it, and they say, and here's how I would explain it, and here's who we can talk to about it. Because, you know, when you're trying to cover something up, that will keep you unemployed for a very long time because those things do get found out. Most employers these days do not give detailed information about what happened, and they'll basically say the person started at $35,000, they left at $45,000 on such and such a date. That's all we say. But a lot of employers are still sharing the information, and so just know that it's possible for it to get out there, and people can deal with the fact that you were let go. You know, one of the best ways to deal with it is to say, here's what I learned from that. And maybe say what I learned from about that was maybe I would have handled it differently in this way. And so they just want to get that you're an honest human being above all else.
What about, I mean, one of the things I've noticed that some of the places I have applied to, you know, online and in the application, they just ask you, have you ever been terminated from a job without you resigning?
Mm-hmm.
And I've always wondered, what am I supposed to say? If I say yes, I mean, then they're probably not going to even have me in.
I would say yes, and I would make sure that I would have additional information behind it. So nobody said you can't send in more information.
But you don't think, so employers don't automatically reject you for that?
I don't think that employers will automatically reject you for that. In fact, I know that I've hired many people who have told me that they've been fired in the past. I'm just looking for a good, honest human being who understands that they're frail and make mistakes, and that they learn from those mistakes.
And Bill,
I'll take one of those any day above somebody who's messing with me and playing mind games.
Uh-huh.
And Roxanne, maybe you can attest to this. And Bill, I think it's the way you handle it too. If you go in and you're all, yeah, I got fired, but it was everybody else's fault, and I shouldn't have been fired, and you've got kind of that attitude, then that may make an employer stand back and scratch your head. If you're very matter of fact about it, because as I used to employ people myself, and you know, people are going to get fired from jobs, and well, what happened? You know what, Dave? It just wasn't a good fit for either one of us, and it just seemed like, you know, it's time to move on. And they made some breaks and changes in the company. I was one of those people that they made a break with.
Okay, what about credit reporting? I mean, do people check that a lot?
Well, I think most employers, well, I don't know what most employers are doing right now. I know that I do credit reporting.
Thanks for calling in, Bill. We'll have Roxanne answer that.
Yeah. I think, you know, a lot of employers are doing credit reporting. And again, I have had employees, one of the questions that I always ask in the first interview is, now we'll be doing background checks and credit reporting and looking into your past. Is there anything that you want to be telling me about that I may find there? And I'm just looking for them to tell the truth again. So, again, I've hired people who have had some bad credit who have said, listen, I did the stupidest thing. I signed for my kid who did such and such, and because of it, they lost the house. My credit rating is impacted. I mean, just the truth. But I'll tell you, I'm never impressed if I'm surprised by bad information.
Right. That definitely makes sense. And again, it's just being honest, but being positive about, as you said, what did I learn from this? You know what? I learned that maybe I should just mind my own business, do this, focus on that. Or, you know, I had these issues back, you know, I was going through a divorce, things got ugly, and this is how it happened, and my, you know, credit got messed up. So there are ways to keep the positive on it. It's if they came to you and it's everybody else's fault, Roxanne, is that when you're going to start, well, maybe this isn't the right fit for me?
I'll tell you, bingo.
Right.
You nailed that one. Yes, because I always tell employees, you know, I'm going to give you some coaching right now, and maybe 99% of what I'm saying is wrong. I don't think that's the case, but maybe 99% of what I'm saying here is wrong. But if 1% is true, and I think it probably is, are you willing to take it in and to see if maybe that could make an impact on your results? And what I'm trying to get people to do is let down the ego and admit that you're a frail human being that has flaws. Because if you come in and you say, it's all those guys, they did everything wrong, I was just a victim of the whole thing, we're never 100% victim of something. There's always some way we could have made that a little bit better situation.
Right.
And so, you know, even if it's a complete stretch, even if 99% of the responsibility was somebody else's, bosses like to hire people who are accountable, and accountability shows up in language.
That's fantastic advice. We're going to take our final break here. We'll come back, wrap up with Roxanne Emmerich. Thank God It's Monday is the name of the book. Why don't we go? We get another copy. We'll give away right now to the 11th caller. It's 651-989-5855. 651-989-5855. And Roxanne, is there a website they can go to get more information, more tips, and maybe even hire you to bring you into their companies to help turn things around?
Yeah, probably the best place. I have several websites, but have them go first to thankgoditsmonday.com because there's all kinds of free gifts and whatever that they can get the book through there. And the books are available everywhere from Amazon to Barnes & Noble to every place else. But there's a way that they can get all kinds of free gifts and such if they go up to that site. You can also sign up, too, for a weekly audio that lasts about 1 minute that you can listen to with your work team to start to get some of the distinctions. We have people all over the world who are telling us that it's transforming their workplace. So go ahead and take advantage of that as well.
Fantastic. Hold tight. We'll be right back with Roxanne Emmerich. You're listening to the Best in Talk Radio. This is Holding Court on 100.3 K-Talk. Good afternoon. Welcome back. This is Holding Court with Ron Rosenbaum. Ron is off for the day. I'm your host for the afternoon. My name is Dave Schrader. Stay tuned because right after I leave at 3 o'clock, you can hear the lovely Sue Jeffers. She'll be here with you till 5 o'clock. And then keep your dial tuned because we are the FM home for the Minnesota Vikings. You can keep it and listen to the show right here on 100.3 K-Talk. Today we're talking about the job environment and workplace environment. Our guest this afternoon, Roxanne Emmerich. She's local right here in Minnesota, and she's got a great book called Thank God It's Monday. We've given away a couple copies. We'll give one more away at the end of the show, and it'll be a double banger. You can also get the book from our first guest that we had on a little bit earlier, How to Make It, A Guide to Getting a Great Job in Any Economy, and we'll give that away at the end of the show, so you'll get both copies of the book from Larry Jemison and from Roxanne Emmerich. Roxanne, time is going by so quickly on us here. We have about 6-7 minutes left with you. I've got one more phone call I want to take, and then I want to talk to you a little bit more about the book. Let me grab this real quick. We've got Jay. Jay, welcome to the show. Thanks for tuning in this afternoon.
Hi there. Here's my situation. I left a position in sales after 4 years, had a very strong record, 25% growth annually in the position. Went to work for a competitor in a sales management position. I've come to realize that I am a salesman, not a sales manager, and I want to get back with them. Any hints?
Roxanne, could you hear that?
I heard he wants to get back, but then I got cut out there. So
yeah, he had left a job, and he took a new job. He was in sales, and see if I got this right, Jay. You were in sales. You left a job to become more of a sales management professional. You realize that just isn't your forte, and you really want to kind of go back to the original job and get back into the sales. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, and
correct.
What do you suggest for somebody that left and went to do something better? How do they get back in and get back to that company that they enjoyed working for to begin with?
Okay, that's a great question, and it's interesting. We have an emotional intelligence test that we give to all of our customers, And many of our clients find out that they can operate with a third less employees because they get people in the right slots. And what happens as a result of that is everybody's far happier. They get much better results. And so I'm guessing your emotional intelligence says you're a salesperson instead of a sales manager. And that would have been really good to know before you did this other step. And so, you know, it certainly isn't a step down by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, being in sales is one of the most respected things you can do because it's about helping people. And so, you know, first of all, I'd say go for it. And I would just explain to people, hey, I just really realized that I really miss direct sales. And that's what makes me happy. That's what gives me joy. That's when I'm in my zone. And I want to be doing that. And people will understand that because anybody who's been around the block knows that. In fact, I teach a boot camp 3 times a year, and one of the things we talk about is that a salesperson is a very different emotional intelligence type than a sales manager, and you shouldn't be taking one and flipping them into the other because you'll be destroying them as a result. The other really interesting thing to know is that sales managers usually don't hold on to their jobs much more than a year and a half. It is the ultimate revolving door position. There is so much pressure. It's such a thankless job. And so you're not alone in wanting to get back out of it.
Thank you very much.
And Jay, too, going back in, I mean, Roxanne, there's no problem in being humble and saying, listen, there was an opportunity that was afforded to me that I thought I could make a difference, and it just wasn't a good fit. I've always enjoyed working for your company. This is a position I know I'm good at, you know I'm good at, and I'd really like to come back and help make a difference. If you go into it with that kind of attitude, do you think that would open up a door a lot more easily for him to do that, Roxanne?
Absolutely. And you know...
Thank you, Jay. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, and Jay, I would just say, too, don't even think about somebody thinking that you're being demoted because it's not a demotion by any stretch of the imagination in most people's minds, certainly not in mine, because I'll tell you what, I can find a sales manager easier than I can find a really good salesperson.
All right, and you make a great point, too, in the fact that, you know, and I don't know if a lot of people know this, sometimes the sales reps are making a lot more than the sales managing staff anyway.
It's more often than not.
Right. And the demotion came in taking a position where you actually are no longer allowed to control your own business. You're now relying on the salespeople underneath you to make your money. And if you're getting an override, that can actually crush your business as well, because if you've got bad people underneath you, you're relying on them. Whereas if you're the salesperson making those sales, you kind of dictate how you're going to do and how you're going to succeed in that business.
Well, and I would imagine, too, that Jay has discovered that, what the research is showing, which is that 37% of a manager's day is spent dealing with low performance and dysfunctional behaviors.
Roxanne, our time is eaten up on us. I have about 2 minutes left. If you could give us one core idea that you could leave us with your book, what can we do? What would that idea be?
Well, I would encourage people to take charge. I have seen the receptionist turn around a company. I've seen the guy in the parking lot turn around the company. The reason I wrote this book is to give people the skill sets to not only turn around their businesses, but also their lives. And so, you know, I've had people come up to me from all over the country, because this has been on the New York Times bestseller list now for 2 months. And people are saying this book transformed my life because once I knew how to own my space and own my power and make things happen around me, I got out of the victim mentality and I got into a whole different world of making things happen. And so I encourage people to understand that don't wait for your boss, don't wait for somebody else, learn the skills and start applying them in your workplace right away.
Fantastic advice, Roxanne. Thank you very much for giving your input. Larry Jemison, thank you as well. We're going to go ahead. We'll give another copy away right now. And you can check out our website, thankgoditsmonday.com. Roxanne Emmerich, thank you very much for spending your Saturday here with us.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much. And thank you all for tuning in. Stay tuned. Sue Jeffers is coming up next. And she'll be here with you till 5. And then keep your dial tuned here because we are the FM home for the Minnesota Vikings. Remember, Monday through Friday, 11 till midnight, Darkness Radio for the best in paranormal talk radio. I'm Dave Schrader. You're listening to 100.3 K-Talk.